episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Janice and Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Rick on the first Be Told for 3 weeks on August the 29th, 2025. Where's my microphone? Fantastic. Haven't done a Be Told show, but I've done lots of other shows, too many other shows. I'm going to concentrate on doing my own show from now on. I've been wasting my time. I do two good shows, and I do a bit of stuff on fakeologist.com, which I'm not going to do so much on that because I'm taking over. When I go on there, I keep talking and I take over. There's other people that need to talk. So I'm going to be doing a lot less on there and a lot more on here when I can be bothered. When I can be bothered. Now, wasting time. That's the thought of the day. Wasting time. Why are we wasting time? I've got sick. I think I've overdone my intake of knowledge. I think I've overdone my intake of knowledge, and I've got no desire to listen or watch, look at anything about what are they called? The Knights Templars, Jesuits. Conspiracy that I've been going on or going into this stuff for 42 years, definitely, and before that, a young conspiracy junior into UFOs and stuff like that. And look, UFO, the unidentified flying saucer thing. Oh, there's a beep 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 beeping in my ear. Is a valid thing. Is a valid thing because. It was a hijack, as the fantastic Bill Cooper realized. A guy who did a full 180 degree spin. Is it 180 degrees? Yeah, he did 180 degrees when he realized he'd been lied to and he was being conned. And he's still the only guy, you know, he stood up and had a go at Alex Jones and said that Alex Jones was a fraud. Big Al Watt, hateful. You're listening to Alan Watt. He said that was a scam. He knew it was a scam, but he was a big fan of Bill Cooper's, who, you know, according to the reports, was shot dead by police in the mid-80s. Now, he also, Bill Cooper, exposed Lieutenant Colonel Bo Greitz. I'm afraid he said so much good stuff, but Bill Cooper outdoes most people. He does outdo most people. Really enjoyable stuff. And his Hour of the Times thing, still good listening. He was the one that went into and exposed that the whole NASA moon landing, da-da-da, was all ritual. You're listening to Be Told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation,
or your preoccupation,
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
The art of condensation on Be Told. Probably episode. Look, I'll find out. I can't be bothered, but I will find out. Be told on the, what did I say, 29th? 29, number 11, of August 2025. We're talking about Bill Cooper and wasting time. Now, I've wasted an awful lot of time. Look, oh, you will not see me anymore, not for a while anyway, arguing with anyone online. It is an utter waste of time. A lot of people out there do an awful lot of it. There's, you know, long audio chats, also audio chats on the Folkologist Network, which go for hours. Sometimes some really good stuff, and I had to giggle away listening to, what's his name? Strange name that he's got. The guy, Ab sent me a thing, said you should listen to the show because this guy, he used to be on Hoaxbusters Call, really belligerent sounding guy. He does a really good long mashup of a lot of stuff, and I'm on a fair bit of it actually. He does, I think it's like 8 to 10 hours of his mashing up audio chats from Folkologists, some from John LeBond's side, obviously, and a few others, and mixing together and putting some music behind it. Really good stuff. Negan Tropic. A guy who's a bit older than me. He's got a good taste in music. And what he did with me was very funny, I thought. I won't share a link, but it's fake on the Folkologist fantastic FocoTube. Negan Tropic, where he's done a lot of stuff. He's mashed up. There's a Rollo and Dave J one. There's me, it was Susie and Anna. Anna's voice is completely different on this thing. I always thought, very quiet when normally when she comes in. I always thought she just talked like this. Well, I thought she was actually Sarah, who has got the most outspoken voice of the lot for females. But it wasn't. It was Anna. Really good story about this poor French guy that fell in love with her, who burst into tears. I did laugh away, and I laughed at the parody of me saying that I'm joining up a cult or a satanic cult or whatever. Very funny. He just mixed my words together. Very easily done. Very easily done. It's a compliment though. If your voice stands out enough for people to copy it, then it's a compliment. Like Alan, I always, you know, hey Phil, this is Alan Watt. I've been doing that for a long time. I do a lot of them. Today I was driving home. Now I'm at home at a very unusual hour. I'm on this is a Friday, and I'm home. I got home at about 6:30 p.m. because I drove back from Sydney from a building site I'm working on, because I've got to go back to that building site on Monday morning. So I'm going to drive back on Sunday. So I won't be doing a bongversation, or I certainly won't be on folkologist.com Sunday. Next Sunday I'll do something on bongversation 43 and possibly on Folkologist. But I need to spend time with real people. And while I gave up drinking about 3 weeks ago, but I'm drinking tonight. I've decided I had kind of 2 weeks off. I got on the drink at Rollo's house, but not heavily. We had a fantastic night at Rollo's, having a barbecue thing with Joel turned up. Joel is extraordinarily tall. He comes from a line of a profession that are usually tall people, and he's obviously been well-bred because I noticed how tall he was. And he came up with a big pair of boots. He's well over 6 foot two, I would say, or he'd be at least 6 foot two, maybe more. Big guy. Rollo shrunk. I think Rollo was over 6 foot back in his day, and then he had a spinal condition with a lot of other conditions, many conditions. The guy is full of conditions, but he's shrunk somewhat. But his brother's well over 6 foot one. His father's 6 foot two. And he was over 6 foot, but I don't think he is now, because I stand next to him and I'm taller than him, and I'm about 5'11". I haven't shrunk yet, but it's happening. I'm sure it will. But anyway, wasting time now. All these people arguing about Jesuits, Jews, black nobility, this nobility. I've spent, you know, 40 something years looking into these things. What does it get you? What does it get you? A pain in the neck. You know, no, and what are you going to do about it if you find out about it? And that's, I'm paraphrasing Dave J. What are you going to do about it? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can argue online and sit there and debate and have a mass debate online, which is what you're doing, mass debating online, and with other people. You won't win the argument usually. And what did you get out of it? Absolutely nothing. Now, at the moment, it's real. Realology is the thing. Fakeology is, realology and fakeology are the same thing. I'll just have to say this. I like to try and find out what's real, and the fakeologist type wants to say that everything's fake. A lot of them do, or we say do. But at the end of the day, we just want to know what's real. And I'm more interested in what's real than what's fake. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing. Mm. Now, at the moment, we've got in Victoria, we've got a sovereign citizen. Blow me down, exactly 7 days after the ABC put out a show called about conspiracists. That's what they're calling them now in the paper. You're a conspiracist. So they've got racist and conspiracy theory put in the same word. Some guy, sovereign citizen, apparently shot two cops. Now, I've got no idea. There was no mystery. They weren't 33 years old or anything like that. So, and he's a real person. I've seen a fair bit of evidence to that. So the guy was a Christian. And apparently he shot two cops. Now, I find it very unlikely that a real Christian would shoot anybody. But, you know, he's in Victoria. And I have to say this, the Victorian police have always been what we call in Australia a bunch of cunts. I've dealt with them before. I had a boss who was an ex-detective from Melbourne, raving homosexual apparently, big moustache, arrogant, nasty. He had a bad aura about him, but he was a detective of some time from who took over a security company I was working for, government contracts that they had. And he was just, you know, he actually was kind of not nice to me. I wonder why. This is when I was in my much better looking days, when I was in my early 30s. But I don't know if that was anything to do with it. But he just had this arrogant thing about him. And he had a bad aura. I can see dark auras in people when someone's been up to no good. There's something about them. There's a cloud around them. And he had one of those clouds. What was it? Oh, yeah, the Melbourne cops. Now, the Melbourne cops, what they did to the people in Melbourne and COVID, and I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to shut up about COVID. The ludicrousness of the whole thing. But what they did to the people of Melbourne, the business owners of Melbourne, was the equal, if not, was it as bad as Canada? I think Canada got it worse, but Melbourne and Australia got it way worse than the rest of Australia. Businesses were shut, you know. And even today, I was talking to someone. I went into a cafe in the winter is, and I saw the guy. There used to be a really big cafe on the corner. Now it's gone. But there's a little tiny one across the road, which I used to go to, and I haven't been there for 5 years. So I went in there, or 4 years or whatever. Got a double egg roll and a cup of tea. And I said to the guy, I said, didn't you used to have the cafe across the road? He goes, yeah, I had that. And then I went and bought another bigger one and lost thousands. And, you know, he was basically told the story. He said, during COVID, I lost, you know, blah, 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 blah. So he's now working in his tiny cafe. I don't even know if he owns this one, but he had a really, really successful cafe. COVID destroyed him. I keep having bumping into people that COVID destroyed their businesses. I'll talk about this one, very interesting guy. I talked about it on the Fakeologist show last week, but I'll talk about it on this for those people that don't listen to that show. I was in the gym and there's a guy in there who I've spoken to before, about 3 or 4 years older than me. And I just offhandedly, you know, because he knew I was a painter, and he suggested he might get me to come do some painting at his new house that him and his wife just bought. And I said, what do you actually do? And he said, well, you're not going to believe this. I am a marketer for the Department of legal pot. So he markets legal marijuana, and they got involved with a business that wanted to get into the Department of Veterans Affairs, because there's so many ex Army, Navy, Air Force, not Air Force. Well, there should be. There should be, if you were involved with in the Air Force, you should have some guilt, I would say. And a lot of them have come back. I suggested to him, because they're on OxyContin, they're on antidepressants, antipsychotics. And honestly, suicide amongst veterans is a real thing, no doubt whatsoever. They come back, they get fuck all, they get treated like shit, apparently. They feel bad about what they did, particularly the Afghani veterans and Iraq veterans. I have to say that one, no surprise, no surprise. And then, so what he's done in this company, it's a long story, but anyway, he got involved with a company that had suggested the Department of Veterans Affairs, we can help give you a solution to your burgeoning expenses, you know, paying for OxyContin and everything. We've got this product, the gummies, the oils or flour that you can get, that you can smoke. That's marijuana, that is. And they trialed it on 15 veterans who had lots of problems with OxyContin and had addiction issues, whatever. All 15 of them had 100% fantastic results. He's now got 3,000 people in the mid-north coast, up all the way up probably to Queensland border, using the stuff. He's making $30,000 a month now from the 5% he gets from each person, plus he gets a retainer of $1,200 a week. Now, why aren't I doing that? Because this guy's got zero background in any of health or whatever. He just fell into it by accident because he was quite good at marketing, obviously. But I was telling him stuff, and he knew nothing about the stuff I was telling him. I told him about the vaccines that all the soldiers got, and any military, anyone that did overseas service got an awful lot of vaccines they had to take before they went to, even from Delhi, which is, you know, Indonesia, through back to Vietnam. But guess what the most common denominator is? And he didn't know this, but I did. It is the one for the mosquito-borne virus that is one of the biggest diseases on the planet. Unless you're on fake holidays where they might deny that it exists, but it's malaria. Now, malaria, I know people that have had it. It is the single biggest thing ever. It's bacterial. There's some wrigglers that are in the wrigglers. The little baby mosquitoes get bigger, and they've got this bacterial infection that it's a living larvae that the mosquitoes inject into the people, and it causes huge amounts of fevers and stuff, and a lot of people die from it. But the vaccine, or the one that the preventative of that, its side effects, this is known, this isn't conspiracy theory, it's known side effects, just like Prozac and all that, is suicide and massive depression. So these soldiers that went overseas to do police actions, which is what they do, police actions, all came down with depression and things like that, came back full of vaccine damage. Guaranteed, into the bloodstream. God knows what. Americans, I think, was the worst. I mean, not only do they stick, 50 or 60 different vaccines over a baby's life from the first 3 years or 4 years, their army is notorious for shooting them up, you know, en masse, using those air dispenser things that they just punch in the subdermal, and they walk through, they have to take their pants down to the lower butt cheek or whatever and then walk through a line, and they get probably 15 or 16 at the same time. Now, what are those things? I reckon they were there to get rid of people. I'm sorry to say that as a conspiracy theorist, not a conspiracist. I'm a conspiracy theorist. Get it right. Yeah. Anyway, forget about that one. Back to my drinking thing. So I stopped drinking. I just had enough because I was drinking, I won't say the amount, but enough, not Rolo amounts, you know, say a fraction of Rolos, which a fraction of Rolos is too much. If you go to a doctor, they'll tell you that 3 standard drinks is enough per week, not a day, per week. I was probably outdoing that by a Rolo factor, I'll just say that. So I've stopped drinking. I lost an awful weight, just falls off you when you do it. But I thought, no, I cannot just say I'm not going to do it, because I don't want to talk when I'm completely. I was getting that way that I did a whole lot of stuff completely sober last week, but I just don't feel like talking. And I feel that it is nice to come back after a hard day's work and sink a few fizzy beers and chat online. And I've done that tonight. I walked in the door. And I'll drink tomorrow night on the Rick and Rollo show. This is not a particularly powerful beer, but it's got zero calories. Zero calories. Then I'm going to drive to Sydney, though it is on Sunday, and I'll be there all week, and I won't drink till I get back home again. And it's so much, I feel so much better, but I cannot sleep. It takes me 3 hours to go to sleep at night. I have so much energy, and that would be a result of not drinking. There'd be your body saying things and doing things to you to get that alcohol and snacks down you. The good thing is when you stop drinking, in my case, I do not snack. So I probably lost 5 kilos just not drinking and eating the same amount of food during the day. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we'll move on from that. But yeah, so wasting time. Back to the wasting time conversation. So what can you do? Well, you find someone that's only just, like me, myself, personally, I'm over it. And a lot of other people I've noticed out, friends of mine that are veteran conspiracy theorists, they're over it as well. Because a lot of people are waking up at the moment. Yes, they are. I noticed on Facebook a guy who's an anti-vaxxer, but, you know, probably 10, 12 years older than me. I've never heard him say anything too much more controversial than vaccines were bad. All of a sudden, he's on the New Zealand Christchurch shooting, fake staged. Now, that is the big story that's going on in New Zealand media. Well, the alternative media, but it's getting spread on Facebook now. Therefore, people are really waking up. Conversation I had last night, because the flatmate that the guy that owns the flat that I stay at, a good friend of mine that I've been staying at his house now for, I think, 15 years after I first moved up here. When I go back to the weather is, I stay at his place usually. He can see what this. So in Australia, I've kicked out the Iranian ambassador because some. Allegedly, Iran was torching or put an arson attack on some, it wasn't a synagogue, it was a Jewish restaurant. And even he said, this is just an absolute joke. But there is so much anti-Israel stuff going on. Not so much Israel, but anti-Netanyahu. I've never seen the like of it. So it's big. People are waking up. There has been a revelation. Is it revelations where it's an unveiling? The truth is being unveiled now. I'm noticing this 100%, 100%. So therefore, I think my job's done because, you know, I don't really, I've already spent my last 42 years getting laughed at. Now that people are waking up, I don't need to tell them stuff. I can just, so what I've been doing is watching true crime stuff, and I'm addicted to true crime podcasts, but not every true crime one. The particular one I like is, what's his name? Jubelin. It's called I Catch Killers. Is it Gary Jubelin? Something like that. He was a cop. He had a lot to do with part not far from where I am. One of the biggest missing. You're listening to Be Told.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too.
click on the donate link.
Rick doing his Be Told on 29th of August 2025. Yes, make sure you send some money to Joel. Anyone that's out there, there's people out there that should be doing their own shows. I've been talking about this privately to all through other people, particularly the Ringer Enners that have to get onto and like ruin, as far as I'm concerned, the Lynn Hertel show. She's a very easy guy. That thinks it's all right for these people. They're just ringing up and interrupting her flow of stuff. And I just want to hear her babble away for an hour and a half to 2 hours. Those people that want to insist on ringing in, why don't they do their own show? If they're that determined to talk, go onto the Fakeologist audio chats and find someone else and just do a show together instead of ringing up and interrupting what I want to hear from Lynn Hertel. The other day, I do complain to Ab. I always make sure I let him know. If I think a show's terrible, I'll tell him. If it's good, I'll tell him. It said, Lynn Hertel is going to talk about the Maxwells. So I listened to it. Within, she just started talking about the Maxwells, and next thing you know, a guy rings up, and then another guy rings up. And then she starts talking about cat vaccines. Now, I'm not interested in cat vaccines. I'm not going to get my cat vaccinated, so it doesn't interest me. I wanted to hear her talking about Robert Maxwell. Am I going green? Yes, I am. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear her, because I know a fair bit about Robert Maxwell and Ghislaine Maxwell. I was on about Epstein at least 10 years ago, pre going on to Fakeologist. Because, you know, those rumors were about he was in jail and taking off back to his little island. And the people you go into Fakeologist, it doesn't exist. He was just a narrative device. Now, No. He was obviously a real person. The Prime Minister of Australia previous 20 years ago, Paul Keating. His daughter was working for him. There was photographs in the paper quite some time ago when Prince Andrew was opening a door. There was Catherine, what's her name? Catherine Keating, standing behind, right next to him. She was working for him. This was in the mainstream news. Now, big story, good story, but it got hijacked with this whole, which I suggested, there's a link to me with that book that came out around the same time as Epstein started appearing in news reports, the 50 Shades of Grey, about a very rich guy and a young woman who's infatuated and getting bondaged to beasts and full of sex, got absolutely bought by every woman out there that could buy that book. It was an incredibly big seller. And I suggested the whole Epstein story when they brought in the sex side of it, you know, he was having young females massaging him, that there was a 50 Shades of Grey and Epstein. Now, the thing I was more interested in was who was on his plane. Now, I'm talking about 10 years ago, I saw that flight list. Now, one of the guys that stood out to me as being very interesting was the creator of Matt Groening of The Simpsons, who was apparently had really ugly feet. And one of the girls that was in court was saying she had to admit that Jeff asked her, could you go and look after him on the plane and massage his feet? And she said that she had like yellow, moldy toenails and she was disgusted by it. Now, this tied in with me was why, how come The Simpsons always had a lot of predictive programming in it. A lot of stuff that you see at the moment is fake predictive program. People have got some kind of AI thing that they can add a modern story and put it into a Simpsons cartoon. That's bullshit. But a lot of their stuff, the 9/11 stuff, there's a lot of stuff in The Simpsons. And I suggest that Groening was just a paid operative and he was being controlled and told to put these things in those shows. And how did he get controlled? Jeffrey Epstein and his gaggle of, 17-year-old, 16, probably, I'd say 17-year-old was on average, females that were being employed by him to do favours for wealthy people. Were there children involved? I doubt that. It is going on, though. You only have to look at the prisons are full, absolutely full of pederasts. Just have a look at your Catholic Church, the Hindus. But what's the worst one, though, that I reckon? It's that grinning, bald, what's his name, the Dalai Lama. You know, there's another one, wearing a dress, encouraging he had a young boy in his lap and told him to stick his tongue in his mouth or something or other. Like, and he goes, I was just joking. This guy is another one. Look into the, I mean, they hushed that one up. Oh, yes, they hushed that one up. Dalai Lama, total CIA-run operation. And how many people do you know, these lefty kind of social justice warrior types that think that the Dalai Lama is a wonderful person? An awful lot of them. An awful lot of them. And he's another one, I would say. But, yeah, the Epstein story is about marketing, tracking software for mobile phones 5 to 8 years before it happened with Bill Gates. And that extraordinarily beautiful woman that was the go-between, who's now in charge of the British medical, well, she's not in charge, but she's there with the British health system, privatising everything. She was a very close friend, and why wouldn't she be? She is absolutely stunning. I forget her name, and it's best not to mention her name because Ed Opperman did do a story on it, and he said that he's never, ever had as much censorship and harassment when he mentioned this girl's name. German-born, Swiss-educated, probably went to the same school that the, what's his name, head of Korea, South Korea, the fat head of North Korea, and the Armenian Kardashians went to that same private school in Switzerland. Guaranteed the same one. But this girl is now very high up, still doing stuff. And Opperman found out the hard way that there's some names you don't want to mention, and she was one of them. And some good shows out there. I shared them back in the day on the Fakeologist. That all just disappeared. The site's been crashed that many times. I can't remember her name. Yes, I do, but I'm not going to say it because I just think it, as soon as you say names like that, bad things happen to your platforms. And I don't want Joel to have any problems with his platform. The extremely tall Joel, who makes the greatest hamburgers I've ever had. Carefully done. He sat there and he's like a DJ preparing, like mixing tapes or whatever. That's what he is. And he made these beautiful patties. Me and Rollo went shopping together. That's always funny, me and him going shopping together. I can tell you that for a fact. But we bought all the ingredients he asked for, and Joel made these burgers last Saturday night at Rollo's new house, which is a fantastic little place that he's got. And it's all on the Rick and Rollo sites, Rick and Rollo show. If you listen to that Sunday episode, we talk about it. But anyway, where can I keep going here? Yeah, wasting your time. Now, I'm really at the moment over. I get no joy in anyone, like, even discussing, as again, Jesuits, Templars. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. Even if I came out now and told you now that the people running everything were the Rotary Australia, for instance. Even though they are tied up with stuff, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Absolutely nothing. Are you going to go and picket the Rotarians? Are you going to tell other people about Rotarians? And they're going to look at you like, you are a fucking lunatic. You are probably a conspiracist, and you possibly are a sovereign citizen. This is what's happening at the moment. Sovereign citizens. These are now interesting. So a week, 2 weeks ago, I got sent a, even though I would have found out myself just by looking at, watching the ABC, which I do have to do when I'm in Sydney, because this friend of mine loves watching the ABC. They did a show, hit piece on the sovereign citizens. And they did do a hit piece on them. And 7 days later, you've got this big story in the media about a sovereign citizen going wild, doing a Rambo, shooting dead 2 policemen, and now he's escaped into the bush and he's being chased by 450 policemen. What does that number add up to? Anyone out there? Anyone out there? Bueller. Bueller. That's number 9. So there's a bit of a clue there. Now, did he really shoot someone? I've got no idea. And neither do you. Unless you were there. And this is the other thing, you know, we could sit there and go, real fake, real fake, real fake. Absolute wasting our time. But the what I am seeing is the results of these conspiracy theories and whatever, mainstream media, is happening. They are really going to start ramping up this anti-conspiracy theory. As, what's his name, the chemtrail denier, who's disappeared under the rock somewhere in Albuquerque, Tim Osman. He said he was 100% correct in an awful lot of what he said, though. 100% correct. He noticed conspiracists a long time ago. And that's what they're calling you, a conspiracist. A conspiracist. So therefore, this is happening. So real things are happening now. Last night, I drove to the job. I know I made a mistake. I went on automatic pilot and went to a job I normally do on a Friday night because my head was in this thing that I'm going back home tonight, and I got everything wrong. I ended up driving through Surrey Hills. Now, this road that I used to drive down occasionally, it was really wide before. All of a sudden, the last time I did it 2 years ago, it's car parks on each side of the road, big flower gardens, and they made it into 2 lanes, 1 each way. And this was a double lane street, which it should be all the time because a lot of cars use it. It took me twice as long to get down it last night. This is what's really happening. The Nikki Rapana, Rosa Corey, Alan Watt, the guys that actually told you what's actually going to happen, the Agenda 2030 agenda. Sorry, the 2030 agenda. Not the Agenda 2030 agenda. It's happening. It is happening. You cannot drive down roads without struggling. Bike lanes, no problem. No problem. Now, we have had so much rain, not this week, though, thank God, but the up till recently, I've noticed the earthworms drowning in even my laundry that last week I walked in there was like 10 dead earthworms in there that had tried to escape. And even though I'm on a sloping block, that's how wet the grass got. The earthworms escaped onto concrete and then died. I went to a job on, I was actually painting at a house for 3 days this week. I'm doing an awful lot of painting at the moment because I am good at it. And I enjoy painting because you can literally listen to your stuff. So I'm listening to the Gary Jubelin, I Catch Killers show. 50, 60 shows I've listened to so far. Highly recommended. No conspiracy stuff, really, but real true crime and human nature stuff. And just, but I shared one to the fabulous South Australian researcher out there. Johnny's Wrist, because he's been sharing a lot of stuff about the Tasmanian shooting. Now, I've got a lot of, I mean, honestly, I went right into that when it happened. I actually started doing cartoons. I was trying to, my vision was doing conspiracy cartoons, and I started, because I'm not good, but I'm all right at drawing cartoon type stuff. And I used to do it when I was at school back in the old days. And there's a story about, I'm just making sure I'm going green. Yes, I am. So, one of Jubelin's interviews is a very interesting an hour and a half, whatever show on a guy who's a, crime scene investigator. And basically majority of them are just your normal, and Jubelin and him worked together. He was in the North Sydney detectives, this guy, and they just talk about things like car accidents they went to and just accidents, like particularly tree lopping accidents, you know, where guys had their heads ripped off. That tree lopping is an incredibly dangerous job. And there was this one job where they had an excavator with a winch on it, and they were dragging logs down a hill where they'd been chopping. And there was a really tall guy and two shorter guys helping. And all of a sudden, the rope snapped upwards. It went off the log and came out at, he reckons, he described as sound, the speed of sound. And it took this guy's head clean off his shoulders, the tall guy. Luckily, the two shorter guys didn't get affected and they couldn't find their head. You know, this was I remember it in the paper about 10 years ago. He doesn't actually talk about the details of it, but this guy does. Anyway, he was actually one of the guys that went to Port Arthur after the incident. And what he says is that he said it was really strange how they really rushed. He said there were bodies all through this cafe with tea towels on the head to stop the bleeding. And the other Jubelin said, I saw the photos of guys with their heads blown off because they all got shot in the head. This is what stood out to me, like head and heart shots from this imbecile that's never fired a semi-automatic weapon before, especially the rifle he used. One of them wasn't this an AR-15. He used what we call the SLR, which is the Belgian FN. And I've fired those things, really difficult to fire unless you're highly trained. And head and heart shots all done within whatever seconds. And he said that they rushed through they wanted everything done really fast. And that's the only thing so I trust that the guy was actually there and there were dead bodies in this cafe. Sorry, I think that I've done more research than most other people on this subject, and I'm suggesting they were getting rid of people they didn't want in the intelligence services that were possibly going to start spilling the beans on stuff in the future. So I think they were the victims there, particularly when you listen to the story of one of the witnesses who stood up and said, not here, not here, not here, you know, like was trying to tell the blonde wigged guy that was coming in, that actually, well, there was two of them, I think, that came into the Broad Arrow Cafe, saying, hang on, I know this exercise is meant to be happening somewhere else. It's not meant to be here. And then he got shot. And he was a 30-year career spook, officially. Officially. Now, you got people like this Miles Mathis and other people out there will go, oh, it's all fake. It's sort of, were they there? No. Do they say everything's fake? Most of the time. Now, I trust that I like the hair. I can tell by voice as bullshit artists, and I am pretty much 99.9% accurate with bullshit artists' voices. They might think they're right and they can actually sound legit, but when they're lying, I can hear it. And this guy was not lying, but I could hear him saying the truth. He was there. They rushed they want it done really fast, which he thought that was a bit strange, but he goes, then maybe that's the way they do things, this sort of thing. So there's a there that there were people there. Were they just cadavers that they brought in there with bullet wounds in them? I don't know, but I'm suggesting this was not just a psychological operation where no one died. I think there were people whacked. You're listening to Be Told.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Thank you, Sarah. That is the wonderful voice of Sarah. You're listening to Be Told, episode number... Actually, I better find out. All right, I'm going to tell you now, live on air, Anyway, if you while I'm looking at this, Bongversation 42 got put out last week. It's probably had up to 300 people so far listening to it. They get up to about 500 people that, and including, I know for a fact, Crow's. Maybe I'm not sure if he listens, but I know his producer listens, and possibly a couple of other people involved with his show. So that's fabulous. I like to know that there's interesting people listening to these shows that we do, because I mean Dave's knocking out of the park, really good stuff. Because I knew that he knew something, he had something, and that it was a there with it, and that is the computer mind, and he brings up all these obscure computer terms that I've never heard of before. Now I'm just going on to here we go. I'm going to find out exactly how many shows I've done before Post Notify. Here we go. When was the last time I did a Bong with those? A long time ago. The Wikipedia of Heavy Rock, 35. So this is episode 36 of Bong with Sosh, of Be Told, number 36. I'm now well behind Rick and Rollo. We're up to episode 44 and 42 of Bong with Sosh. And so, and I would have to say I'm a fakeologist. It would have to be in the hundreds, easily. Now, I mentioned the Fakeologist show. Last week we had some people come over and did a show on truthmeets.com. And I tried to listen to it, but it had the worst sound recording ever. It had someone that had an open hot mic. And it turns out it was Greg Shantz, who's normally does some good stuff, but if he's been warned about his mic, he needs to do something about it because it is bad listening. I stopped listening. It probably could have been really good afterwards. I don't know. I just could not handle that that sound. I was listening. I thought it was someone else. It was had a hot mic. What's his name? Dr. Fustercluck, who apparently is out there still playing music all over the place. A very interesting character. A very interesting character. Ex-Hoaxbusters. Anyway, yeah, back to the Tasmanian shooting. But like Martin Bryant's mother is now out of the blue saying, coming out and saying that he definitely didn't do it. So there's, you know, is this story going to get, are people going to wake up to that one? I hope so. Now, I have no idea whether it was real or not, but I think it was, and I think they just used it to get rid of a whole lot of possible loose lips in the coming future that were in the intelligence agencies that were going to actually ruin what was coming. Because I think that does happen. And I'll bring this up. One of the things I've been watching the most is true crime and a lot of military stuff, the SAS stuff, which I was always a fan of back in the day because I worked with and had a very good friend who was in the British and New Zealand SAS. And these guys are as good as they say in terms of they're very clever guys. Intelligence and sabotage and doing whatever, causing trouble overseas. That's what they're good at. And they did that in many theatres of war and theatres. Remember, what do you see in theatres? Films. But the real things do happen to make the news happen. They have to blow up a building here and there and do this and that. Now, one of my favourite heroes of the SAS was Paddy Mayne, the stuff from the Second World War. And I suggest that the Germans' oil company, you know, what they were doing, they were going in there and destroying the Germans' oil businesses in Africa. And the SAS were doing that. And Paddy Mayne had met he was a real Irish rogue, real, they've done an incredible, there's actually a film out there called Rogue Heroes of the SAS, which I have to watch it. I just watched it. And the guy that plays Paddy is spot on. It should have been Liam Neeson. Years ago, they wanted Liam Neeson to play it, and he would have been perfect because he was a big guy. And he was just bad-tempered and was a great soldier and went out and did all sorts of heroic stupidity, blowing up things, which is what they were doing over there. They were going behind enemy lines all the time, doing some amazing stuff. The modern day SAS, again, could be doing a little of the psychological operations you're watching, setting up bits and pieces. Nothing, no one might be getting killed, but they would definitely be blowing up things and making things look like they're happening, guaranteed. But anyway, Paddy Mayne, just like the African, the guy that helped found the whole thing, Lawrence of Arabia, and General Patton, all had car accidents and died within weeks of each other. I think that the Lion of the Desert, what's his name? He had a motorbike accident, but he died. That's Lawrence of Arabia, T.E. Lawrence. He had a motorbike accident. Paddy Mayne had a car crash and died. Patton had a car crash and died. Now, both these guys would not have put up with what actually did happen at the end of World War II, where they gave it all to the Russians. These guys would, especially Paddy Mayne and Patton, were genuine people, and they saw that all the stuff they did was just being handed out to the communists, and probably got angry about it, and they had to get rid of them. And I'm suggesting it's a real coincidence that both those guys and T. Lawrence, but it was in a different year. I think it was in the 30s he died mysteriously in a motorbike accident. There's a there. And now, honestly, I get my gut instinct picks up on stuff, and I'm saying there's a there. Am I the only person to suggest this? Not sure, but I usually am. Anyway, I might call tonight already. I might mute for a bit, think if I can see if I can think of anything else. But I think I've said enough for a Be Told show. But definitely, the media is sovereign citizens bad. The Christian sovereign citizens bad. Again, that guy that tasered the old woman, Christian White. There's a there, guaranteed. Bad. They're definitely coming after us, and that's why we're arguing online about who's the bad guys and wasting your time about round flat, rabbit season, duck season. You're wasting your time. You need to be looking at what's going on and speak to people about the 2030 agenda. That makes sense. I haven't heard back from, I've got a feeling my show I did on the Alan Watts, the Real History with Melissa, which has got a lot of people listen to that. The very censored show I did has got one of the biggest rating shows that she's done. But I think there's a few of her people that she listens to are possibly, and one in particular, Scottish guy. I heard him say the other day, he doesn't want to go to Poland because in case the nuclear bomb goes off. And I thought, I think I would have said a whole lot of things about fake things that probably caused her a bit of a problem. Not sure, but she hasn't approached me to do another show, which I would have thought she would if it's been that popular. But maybe she's just busy. Not sure. But I would do another one, no problem whatsoever. But I dropped people that I didn't even get on, you know, like I advertised IPS, I advertised Psychologist Radio, I advertised truthmeets.com, which is where I am now, which is the one I do recommend now that you listen to. And I shall be doing more stuff on this. And now, what music are we going to go out with tonight? Now, it's not going to be, I listened to this awesome song by this chick who's was actually playing in Port Macquarie about a month ago, which I should have gone to see, Washington. And I thought, how cool is this chick? This music was really cool. But I'm going to play something by a guy who's a, this is a very obscure song, about a subject I've mentioned before on some various shows about, Tell Me It Ain't So, Joe, about when the baseball player, Joe, what's his name? Was it Sleepy Joe or Joe someone or other? He took a fall and they lost the game. And I think Shoeless Joe Jackson. Was it Shoeless Joe Jackson? Could be. And they, I think they made that movie, you know, If You Build It, They Will Come. I think he might have, was that part of the story about, you know, a guy who took a fall and lost all his fans and things like that. But Tell Me It Ain't So, Joe, was actually a thing. And somehow I was watching something on Facebook the other day, and it was actually Roger Daltrey singing this song. I thought, this is such a cool song, and I couldn't find it on his catalogue, but it was actually Murray Head who put it out first, whether he wrote it or not. Murray Head was an incredible guy. I think he was in Chess. He's the guy that sings that song, One Night in Bangkok. But he also was one of the, in the original cast of Jesus Christ Superstar in 69 with Ian Gillan, the greatest version as far as I'm concerned, even though I do love the American film version. But this is a great song called Tell Me It Ain't So. I think that's the title, but it's Murray Head from probably 71 or thereabouts. Really nice song. Probably relevant these days. And I'll be back tomorrow night talking to Rollo on the Rick and Rollo Show, episode number 45. So thanks for listening to Be Told, and I'm going to send this song off, Murray Head's Tell Me It Ain't So. Oh, how fantastic. Good night, everybody. Hey, thanks, Joel. You are the best producer, be told. That was amazing. I didn't think you were going to do that so quick. Anyway, I'll tune out and I'll speak to you next time. I'll be back tomorrow night. Bye-bye.